Okay. And okay, so my name is Annalise Finney. I'm here in Oakland, California, and this is an oral history for the Education Narratives Project of the Oral History Summer School. Today is February 9th, 2022 now, and I'm here with Margaret Funkhauser. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Margaret Funkhauser. I think this is in my fifth interview. And I'm in Natick, Massachusetts.
Okay. So I know that your last interview was I believe it was the first day that you had started school this year. I wonder if we can start by you just telling me what's happened since then.
Yeah, I did go back and listen to that interview recently, and so I can reflect on it fairly well, that there were certain things I think that were coming up and that were brought up that tracked and for sure our institution and faculty and students continued to grapple with and maybe even grappled with more. And I think there were the certain things of where that felt very local and anecdotal to that time. I would say that we as a school have chosen to launch a lot of initiatives this year. And there are probably bigger leadership institutional reasons for that, meaning that, you know, COVID delayed the like start of a strategic planning process, which is, you know, from an administrative point of view in a school is a big deal. And so there are certain things that had to sort of happen alongside of that, one of which is like a programs audit. So meaning like all the programs at the school are going through an audit that focuses a lot on curriculum, but has some other pieces to it that are new, how we support social emotional learning, how we build in restorative culture. And I think, so that is a lot of what's steering some of the work of departments and programs this year. The school launched a new schedule. It launched a new learning management system online. And it and this is very specific to my experience, for the first time had a school-wide January term. And I was one of the co-directors of that. So that has been that piece. I mean, my department's going through the audit and I'm also, you know, facilitating that, but co-directing this January term for the school really was like a second job for me. And that's a lot of new things. Oh, and the bringing in changing to restorative practices across the school in terms of things like discipline, but also how assessment that feeds into certain kinds of assessment. So there's a lot of initiatives and change. And I think that it has been hard as a community. It's been a lot for the community. And it feels like, I think particularly on the faculty level, people just wanted to get back into the classroom and get some connection and get some traction, and there are all these things that are living in the kind of negative space of what they usually do. So that has been hard and has, I don't think, has helped morale. And I would be super remiss if I didn't talk about supporting adolescents right now in terms of their mental health. So that is also It's a big thing. I mean, the people, you know, I don't know the exact statistic of labeling the a mental health crisis. You know, I have heard those sound bites, but it's real. I mean, it's in the classroom. I work at a boarding school, so in terms of the non programmatic time, I think students are struggling and suffering and practicing social skills that are really on delay. So you have adolescents who are now kind of emerging, and they're old for that kind of emergence. And so, and mixing with, you know, it's a lot. And so I would say that is, for some people on campus, almost just a full-time job, just supporting students. So that's what's been happening.
That's a lot. I'm curious if you can tell me a little bit about what does it look like for, in terms of your work, this supporting students who are dealing with mental health challenges?
It depends on, you know, for some students, I am their trusted adult. And so they come to me when, you know, things, and sometimes it can be, it's not necessarily crisis all the time. It is, but in terms of their, you know, how they are, I don't know, see them, I'm struggling to describe this, but I have students who come because they have missed a lot of class, and they're not skipping class. They are, I think, struggling with some motivation or some feelings or some distraction that gets them to class. And that's pretty unusual at our school. We haven't, you know, we don't have huge attendance issues. Students self-select to come to us, and they're very motivated. But I think we have a lot more absences than we have seen in the past. And I think a lot of those students, you know, they check, we have a health center, and they check into the health center. I think I have a lot more students who are in therapy or seeing therapists. And, you know, students who have had kind of what I would associate, social struggles that I associate with middle school, not, you know, our high school. So students who feel quite sure that other students don't like them, or other students I think there's just a lot of pot stirring and a lot of drama, which, you know, I know that we associate that with adolescents, but the students at my school who are, you know, they come because, you know, they have to audition and they have to present portfolios, and they're very like a kid who's deciding to invest so deeply in the arts in ninth grade is usually a fairly mature student. But I think there's just, they seem to be behind in terms of sort of growth and development. That's a general statement. They want to talk about mental health, and I think that's a very positive thing. They don't think the adults are listening. And that is a refrain I hear a lot, that we don't feel seen, we don't feel heard, we don't feel understood. And to a certain extent, they'll say, you know, our school Walnut Hill does better than most schools, but still we don't feel like the adults are listening. And you know, I think that it is it's pretty pervasive in that if when the school has made efforts to get more support to sort of honor the needs and to accommodate students, but it's not enough. It feels like it will right now. It feels like it will never be enough. Like it we can't take away or mitigate how they feel. And we've had some, I would say, you know, high school is always a learning ground for exploration and self-discovery. And there's a lot of that too. I think in terms of like, we had some, this is a good thing, was not planned for the year, but one of the things that happened in January was to have some really elevated and not tiptoeing around sex ed on campus. We're bringing in, you know, sex positive consultants, but also boundary and consent training that was pretty intense, and it was definitely needed. So I think that piece, you know, one could make meaning in terms of students being on lockdown for 2 years and then not. But I was pretty proud of the school for doing that. It was, you know, it wasn't like when you start having sex, it was like, you're having sex and now we're gonna talk about it. So there's a lot going on with the kids these days. And there's a gap between the kids and the adults. I think there's a gap between the faculty and the administration. While it's not quite the same, that refrain of like, I think from the faculty, we don't feel seen, we don't feel heard, we don't feel understood is also there. And so, I mean, there's meaning to be made about that between people coming out of COVID and responding to people who make the decisions and have the power.
I wonder if all of this feels like it's impacting